it's a pumpkin, so it'll be like a pumpkin. Cut through it, and it only goes in for like an inch, and then the rest is hollow, Helen. It's hollow inside. And I was like, what is this nonsense? Where is my pumpkin? I was going to eat some of this. I have been shortchanged.
Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, friends and fans, and welcome to Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about a few of our favourite things. I am your host, Helen Gould, one of the best Rusty Quillers, and today we're talking about holiday traditions.
Holiday traditions, baby! I'm ready!
Yep.
Let's go.
Yep, Mike's here. Did you know that Mike's here?
I mean, he's got the best Christmas jumper out of the out of us all.
Before this recording started, we were all like, let's maybe not talk about just Christmas. And I'm sat here in a Christmas jumper with tinsel coming out of my ass and a Christmas tree in the background.
Right. Well, as you are now very aware, we're going to talk about the holidays, and I am going to have everybody introduce themselves, and we're going to do it alphabetically as always. So, Annie, please, can I get your name, your pronouns, and what you do?
Hi, everybody. My name is Annie Fitch. I use she, her pronouns. I'm an audio editor at Rusty Quill, and I'm the voice of Actor X on Stellar Firma.
Huzzah. And Elizabeth?
Hi, my name's Elizabeth. I am also another editor for Rusty Quill, and I use she, her pronouns. That's about it, I think.
Cool. And Mike.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike. I'm the head of video for Rusty Quill and the voice of Tim Stoker from the Magnus Archives. And I use he, him pronouns.
Wonderful. Somehow I always forget that you're Tim.
You see, it's weird. There's like a dichotomy in Rusty Quill where people call me Tim. unironically now. Mm-hmm. It's now got to the point where I just accept that people give me that name. and then there's people who are like, oh yeah, yeah, season 3, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's a long time ago, hey.
Okay, all right. Let's get into it. Because we are recording in December, I do want to talk a little bit about the festive season. Would anyone like to tell me what you tend to do at this time of year in your house? Is anyone up for starting?
Most of what I do at this time of year involves cardigans, like comfortable jumpers, Baileys, probably a few gins and maybe some wine, usually excessive amounts of turkey, and in between all of that, lots of squirty cream, usually on some kind of cake, or alternatively on some kind of like fruit-related product. or fruit-adjacent product, if it's like, you know, glacé cherries. I still don't know what they're made of. Does anyone know what they actually are?
Okay, I found out. So glacé cherries are maraschino cherries, specifically, with the stones removed, and they are cooked in like a sugar syrup.
Mm.
And that's why they have that texture and that taste. That's why they're so sweet.
That's what they're trying to tell you. But really, they come from another planet. Clearly, they've been described to that planet as that this is one of the items that we eat. And then that planet, scientists on that planet have come up with what they think that is and then are selling it. So it's a conspiracy. It's how they're getting their brain worms into us. It's via glacé cherries.
Something adjacent to that, it's seasonal, so I guess it could play into what some people consider holiday. Did you know that pumpkin spice lattes have no pumpkin in them? They're called pumpkin spice lattes because it's the spices that you would normally cook a pumpkin pie with.
What?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if there was no coffee in Starbucks coffee.
No, it's just like cinnamon and cloves and a couple other things in it. No pumpkin.
Damn.
I mean, it would be quite weird if there was like floating, like fibrous pumpkin.
Well,
pumpkin
sure. In your, cause it...
But I think this is something we should investigate. I think we should investigate, can we make a drink with pumpkin in it, like a coffee drink where it's just blended pumpkin, coffee, cream, glacé cherries, obviously. Just
Liz,
add them all in.
To dare to believe.
But Mike, so we've heard what you like to do around this time of the year. Liz, what about you? What are your plans usually around December?
Helen, the most important thing about this time of year for me is Christmas pudding. Christmas pudding must be served. Otherwise, Christmas has not occurred. Christmas pudding, I do not care so much about whether it's got brandy sauce, but it must be heated with ice cream or cream. And if you're going to do it super traditional, it has to have coins stuffed in it.
Mm. Yes, of course.
If you haven't, with your mouth, taken small bites of a pudding and then like carefully checked whether or not there was a bit of metal in there, you haven't lived. Like, this is a tradition that just brings such nostalgia to me. So Christmas pudding is very important. Mince pies are also semi-important. Peas with mint sauce. It's the only time you ever have mint sauce.
No, you've lost me
but
now.
Peas and mint sauce.
Check it out at peas with mint sauce. No. You had and, me all the way up peas until that. No.
And you've got to have your roast, but for me being vegetarian, obviously it's a bit different than it used to be. But when I was young, actually, it was probably lamb or mutton, and then maybe I think chicken or turkey. God, it's been so long ago. There would always be like two meats, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was the day of two meats.
Yeah.
Now it's probably gone down to the day of one meat and one vegetarian roast. So.
Not to be overly American, but it's always honey-baked ham instead of roast in my house. Honey-baked hams are my absolute favorite, and you basically don't get them any time other than the holidays.
We used to have ham. I do remember growing up with ham because it would be put in the cold store, so there was a bit of the kitchen that stuck out with a thing, a door on it, and then the ham would sit there wrapped in a tea towel, you know, for the days afterwards, which would be sliced into sandwiches for the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
So yeah, exactly. There was always ham and then something else.
So. My family, we always get honey baked ham, which is just a whole ham with like an inch thick crust of honey on it before it's cooked. So it's crystallized on the outside. It's delicious. And then obviously it's a big old thing, so there's no way we're going to eat all of it. And so we would carve it up and put it in a big case basically in the fridge, and then just that was lunch for like most of January.
You just got so sick of ham. I just remember being sick of ham after about 3 days.
I suspect this is something that we all share, which is inexplicably cooking so much more food than you actually are gonna need.
Yes.
And you do it every year.
Yeah.
Even though you should really know better.
So we used to, obviously, like, you know, pre this, we used to go and see like some relatives up in the north of England. And basically the whole point was, on that side of the family, they all get together around Christmas time. It's usually just before or just after. And everyone will cook one part of the big Christmas meal. And then everyone comes together and you share everything, and you share drink and you share food and you share like stories and play games, and like people bring like tabletop games that we can play and things like that. Like it's really, really cool. But you are quite right. What that means is because everyone is cooking their own element of the meal, they make like a family sized portion of that element, meaning that there is so much food by the time it comes to actually getting there. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you gotta love it, though.
Yeah. Annie, other than the ham, any other traditions that you do?
Well, I was first gonna say, as the only American here, I feel like I should bring up Thanksgiving for the sort of fall-winter holidays. Hmm. Thanksgiving is a holiday that I don't think I appreciated very much as a kid, because I was a picky eater. So to me, it was just all my family's around, and then I'm eating, I guess, some food, but I didn't get into the massive dinner portion of it as a kid, and really it was just kind of an excuse to have some time off school. But as an adult now, I love Thanksgiving. I love getting to have people come around who I don't really get to see that much during the year, and I love all the food. I love all the like the potluck element of it. of everybody bringing their own dish. And then also on Thanksgiving morning every year, I play a massive flag football game with my friends that's very, very competitive.
Aww.
And so we go cool. back to like people who have now spread out all over the country. And, you know, we started this game when we were like 17, and now like I turned 30 in about a month. And so like seeing as everyone progresses through life, and then every year we still come back to the hometown, to the same field that we all grew up playing sports on,
no.
And have a game. It's so, yeah. Yeah.
This
is hard to compare to anything else. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm. And so just, I think that's what it is for me about all the fall winter holiday season here, because very much in the States, it's kind of like everything spread out through the year, and then you hit Halloween and it's like bam, 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 bam through Valentine's Day, and then you're out the other side. So, but like the way that it brings people together, the way that you get to see people that you don't see all the time, both family and friends, and like that element of it is something that I don't know that I appreciated as a kid, but I definitely really, really enjoy as an adult. So
it's interesting for me thinking about it, because my Christmases have changed a lot. Like, we started off, I think, going to Nanny's, like my grandma's place. When she was younger, she used to host us all. So that would be me, my dad, my mum, my auntie and her four sons and one daughter.
Oh, wow.
And then my uncle and his wife.
That must have been a handful, hey.
Yeah, that they would often fight over the roast potatoes.
Of course. Of course. Yep. It's the best.
Mum, he's got one more than me. Mum, his potatoes are bigger than mine. They're all like proper strapping guys as well.
Gotcha.
They're all like so tall. Anyway, so when I was very young, we were doing that. We were going over to my grandma's. And then as I got older, we stayed at home and it was just me and my mum and my dad. And as I got a little bit older than that, my dad would started building all these traditions with me. We would go and get the tree together. Mm-hmm. He'd have me pick it, like a real tree.
Yeah.
A few days before Christmas, he would start hiding little chocolate bars in the tree. And he would come to me at various points of the day and say, oh, there's something in the tree. And I would go and like look in the tree for it.
No.
Put up all the decorations together. I am about to open a very controversial topic, though, which is about presents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Right. Let's crack this can wide open.
Okay. So for me, the minute I woke up, stocking is open. Mm. I go into parents' room and wake them up at whatever unholy time of night it was. And I open it all with them in the stocking. Mm. And then I'm not allowed to touch the presents under the tree until after lunch.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Because I've had my first set of presents, and the second set of presents is for a little later in the day.
Well, the first set, there, that's your Santa sack, right? So that's your Santa brought. So we used to have a pillowcase because we had such classy items as pillowcases for stuffing for us. But I'm like you. I think the parents insisted that we either had breakfast or it got to just before lunch. I think it depended whether we were going over to someone else's place for lunch or whether. Mm. But what would happen is you would have to get the presents from your parents, so you'd open them, and then if you traveled then you'd be bringing the presents for the other people, and then there'd be that exchange of gifts. I'll be honest, I'm so glad that our family just doesn't really do gifts like that anymore. We have them for the kids only, and we do not bother with one another, and it's just a load of stress that you don't have to have anymore. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I will do one thing, which is every so often we'd be off to the Gambia to be with my mum's family, and I'd have to leave all the presents behind.
Oh, no.
And I'd have no presents on Christmas.
Oh, no. No, that's gutting. No, you can't leave them behind. Oh, my God.
Oh, that is awful.
This is distressing.
That's the coolest thing. That's the coolest thing.
I thought that you had to wait until after lunch was hard, but good Lord.
And that would also be we're going to the midnight, like, church service as well.
Oh, yeah. Of course, right. Yeah.
And often we'd be staying until New Year's, too.
Yeah. Back up a second. So you didn't get to open your presents until the new year.
That's how I remember it. I could be mistaken. I certainly remember being, you know, like fairly old teenager, 15 or 16, and not having any presents on Christmas Day.
Damn. Oh, and damn. Just being, Helen. God, I'm going to send you something this year, and you better flip it well open it on the 25th.
On that note, I think we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back in just a second. And welcome back. So, I'm going to take a hard left turn. I'm going to ask if anyone has any traditions around Halloween. Because Halloween is very important to me, but I don't know if it is to other people. And I'd be interested to know if anyone else celebrates Halloween in some of the ways that I do.
I love Halloween. Halloween is definitely my favorite holiday. It's interesting because when you're, I don't know about elsewhere, but certainly where I'm at in the States and everything, adults at Halloween, particularly folks in their 20s, party really hard on Halloween, like throw absolute ragers around Halloween, which I love, don't get me wrong, but I think that a lot of people miss the element and don't necessarily admit it all the time of like the dressing up, the giving out candy, watching scary movies, and the vibe, actually enjoying the vibe, the spooky vibe of Halloween.
Yeah,
I adore Halloween. I adore doing costumes. I adore carving pumpkins when I get the opportunity to. And I don't get to do it often because Halloween is a big day at my day job at a theme park. Our Halloween event is our busiest time of the year. But when I have the opportunity on Halloween itself, I like to be in. I like to give out candy because I love seeing the costumes that kids wear. I like going trick-or-treating with my kids when I have the chance. And staying and watching scary movies, the whole nine. I love Halloween.
Mm. Anyone else? Mike, what do you do?
Nothing. I have to be honest with you.
okay.
So my family has never really been a big one for Halloween. And to be honest with you, I've never really known why. I mean, it's widely known that I don't get along with horror particularly well. I don't sit and watch scary movies very often and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But when I was younger, like I always, in a load of movies that you watch, like you see loads of people going out and doing trick-or-treating and like, you know, meeting up with people and blah, blah, blah. And so when I was younger, I always used to ask my mum if we could go trick-or-treating and we never went. And she'd never really tell me why. And then as I grew older, she explained it was to do with like safety concerns and she was worried about like me and my sister and like, you know, us getting like kidnapped or something like that. And so eventually, like, you know, the truth will out. But that meant that I never really celebrated Halloween. I got to university, and at that point, I would go to, as Annie quite rightly put it, the rages that would happen in people's houses. Like, I remember being in, like, these clubs in Derby where, you know, basically it was just dance until you can't dance anymore, like 3, 4, 5 in the morning kind of stuff, and like that would be Halloween. But I would only really go there because my mates would go there, so we'd get dressed up and we'd like, you know, we'd go and have a good time. And then the moment I left university, I mean, like it's rare that I can even find someone to come and carve pumpkins with me. So like, you know, I just rarely celebrate Halloween. It's usually just a day where I get a few more ranks in my Apex Legends characters.
What about you, Liz?
It's definitely something that I came across really as an adult coming to the UK because we don't really, or when I grew up, we didn't really do trick-or-treating. I mean, it's not like we didn't know what Halloween was, but it was more that it would only be if someone had a Halloween-themed party. Universities or something might do something like that, but you didn't really have kids walking around the streets. I don't know what it's like today. I have been away for like 10 years or so. But talking about pumpkins and carving them, I carved like my first ever pumpkin not that long ago for I decided to do the Howie the Milkman logo. I was like, I'll do that.
No
way. I was trying to think of a theme.
I don't think I've ever been so shocked as when I cut through, because I got these pumpkins, which I'm like, it's a pumpkin, so it'll be like a pumpkin. Cut through it, and it only goes in for like an inch, and then the rest is hollow, Helen. It's hollow inside. And I was like, what is this nonsense? Where is my pumpkin? I was going to eat some of this. I have been shortchanged. So, I mean, it explains how it was lighter than expected, but I didn't even, all these years, I just thought there was a massive amount of pumpkin. And that's why, of course, you have pumpkin pie, because you have all that pumpkin leftover stuff, you know, for Thanksgiving, right? You've got all the pumpkin leftovers, because that comes after Halloween. I figured that was because, you know, Halloween comes, you've got loads of pumpkin, then you do, anyway. No.
And then you've still got stuff to put left over to put in the lattes.
Well, exactly. No, it's all air. You've just bought an entire empty gourd, which was a shock.
Yeah. And it's really hard because it's so stringy. It's so hard to actually get it out and clean properly. Like,
yes.
I have done a pumpkin once, and I can't be bothered to do it again. That's so much effort.
My mate did it. You get a hand mixer, hand beater, one of the or the electric beaters. You put that in and you do that around when it's been opened up.
Oh man!
And spill it
That's
around.
That
pulls out most
stuff.
Of the threads. Yeah.
Wow.
But those things as well. The moment you get them, you're like, it must be outside because this thing will decay at a rate faster than anything else you've ever owned. Like, I had one indoors, and then it was like the next day I'm like, oh god, like, you look at like, the face is now like mold. You're like, that's something else I learned. Decay rate on Halloween pumpkins extremely high.
Useful information.
You're supposed to carve them like 3 days before Halloween.
Not like a week and a half. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm a massive horror fan, so I will do one of two things for Halloween. I will either be at a Halloween party, as I was this year. The theme was games.
Nice.
Ideally sort of tabletop and traditional games.
Oh man.
So I went as the Queen from chess.
Interesting.
Got myself a crown and like a velvet dress and some accessories, and off I went. And I really love being on the tube in costume on Halloween.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's and seeing other people just sitting also calmly scrolling their phone, just dressed as a carrot or something,
yeah.
You know?
So I remember that outfit, Helen, and I remember you said what it was. And I now have to admit that when you had said that, I thought you meant Chess the Musical and was like, what? I don't remember a character, which was quick. Yeah, and very slow.
No, it was meant to be game themed. I went to a little party this year. The year before, I think I just watched loads of horror movies, and I have done that several times. I watched a film called Mother, which is basically gaslighting the film.
Mm-hmm.
I started it, fell asleep, woke up, and it was absolute pandemonium. I was like, what has... You know how sometimes most horror films, you're like, okay, I can see where this is going. Mother just... Yeah. Slaps you round the face several times from different directions.
Was that the Darren Aronofsky one?
I think so,
With
Lawrence.
No, I love that film. This year I took your advice and I watched all the Hauntings of Hill House related films.
Interesting. What did you think?
Well, I mean, like, when Owen Wilson gets his head knocked off, what a prime piece of film cinema history. But actually,
I've got to rewatch that.
Yeah, so I watched Vincent Price one, I think, that one, and then the one that you'd recommended, which was the 1916. Oh, it was maybe
63, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And then went and actually rewatched the TV series that had come out a couple of years ago, right, on Netflix. And you saw all the references they make all the way through it, and you're like, oh, it's all very clever and it's all tied in. So
it is.
So that was my Halloween as well, film tradition for this year. You'll have to give me another series to watch for next year, Helen.
Yeah. Since I've been an adult, I've not really done sweets for the kids, apart from a couple of places that when I was renting in London. But where I am now, I'm in a flat with like where you have to have a special fob to get into the building, so we don't really have kids wandering around the corridors.
Well, and so this year I was actually like, since Halloween was on a weekend this year, I was working, so I didn't get to hand out anything. But like, for the last few years, I haven't really, because also like the last few years, even before COVID, I lived at this house on top of a very steep hill at the top of a remarkably steep driveway. Like you're nearly climbing instead of walking steep driveway. And so no kids ever came up to trick or treat where we lived. Because they're not going to.
No, because no one came down my street either.
Simply not worth the effort there. But, you know, I grew up on the sort of stereotypical gridlocked suburban streets of, you know, that you see in any number of American, like, sitcom TV shows. You zoom out, see the neighborhood laid out in a perfect grid. That is exactly where I grew up. And so, like, you know.
Nice.
Halloween was the time, trick-or-treating was the time of, like, you would, like, map out, you knew which houses on which streets tended to buy the king size. And so you'd have a route that would pass through all of them, and you'd hit every house on the way. Nobody, like, it would be maybe one in every 40 houses that wouldn't have candy. Even if they weren't home, people would leave their porch light on with a bowl on the porch, and you'd come take some. You just didn't, a thing you didn't do, not buying candy. So you would just make this whole route for, like, 3 hours where you'd hit all the big stops. It was just such a blast.
I now want to ask, in a more general fashion, if anyone has any sort of favorite holiday memories, like things where you're like, that was a nice Christmas, or that was a nice New Year's thing, or anything like that. Because I would just like to know, for the content of this show, for the content.
That's fair. An excellent point to make.
Give me your favorite holiday memories.
I think growing up, we always, because it was summertime, right? You'd have Christmas, and then you'd go away often with your parents to somewhere nice. And so for us, it was up to Nelson, which is like a beach town with, more importantly, hydro slides, which were just like the highlight of going on holiday. Also just as an adult, when you go there, it's got beautiful walks and Abel Tasman National Park. So I just really have really fond memories of that area. And hydro slides. Well, and natural hydro slides as well, because there's one which is, there's an area you can kayak to where they've got in the sort of short cliff face, they've got like a natural slide that happens. So
no, I mean, that's sick. You know,
it's just a giant playground. Just
lovely.
So having those summer holiday breaks, you know, it was always like such a nice time of year, because you'd have Christmas and then you'd go into the summer holidays, and then it would rain, but there'd be some sunny moments, and then you'd get sunburned. But yeah, it was great, and you didn't have to go to school, which was the important part, right?
Yeah,
that is the important part. Annie, how about you?
I'm trying to think of a specific. I have such a good time at Christmas in general. Okay, I don't know the absolute favorite, but this is something that sticks out to me. My sister's husband, once they got married, we sort of added an extra tradition onto our sort of family list of things, which is my whole family go over to his family's Christmas Eve dinner. Which is a big part of how the making the glog started coming around, was they started to do it there serve to this massive family gathering of people we knew and didn't. And but then I just remember one particular year, 5 or 6 years ago probably now, we started the tradition at that of, after dinner was done, as people were having drinks and easing into the night, some of the, you know, kids would leave and we'll be off to bed or whatever. And then we started gathering around the dinner tables and playing board games. But it would just get really raucous for no apparent reason other than, I guess, that everyone was drunk. But like, there's like a trivia game called Jackass that we now play every year because it's just hysterical. Like, it's very much one of these games where you like, can end up sabotaging each other and pushing each other, like, you know, like pushing someone else's progress back in order to move yourself, like, one of those sorts of games. So, like, games like that, like Sorry and everything, that just have us all up and, like, yelling at each other and laughing till our stomachs
nice. Yeah, nice.
So much fun, yeah.
Excellent. Mike, what about you? What's a favorite holiday moment for you? Any holiday?
Man. One memory that stands out was when, so I had always in my mind had this grand idea. You know the whole, you know the song, Driving Home for Christmas?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm a big petrol head and I've always loved cars and I've always loved driving, but I'd never, ever, ever had the opportunity to drive home for Christmas. Every year, like I say, I lived away from home since I was 17. Every year I would take the train, I mean, one year I took the National Express and that was an adventure. but there was one year where I remember I had a car and I was living in London. I was living in Anerley in South London. And I was like, right, okay. It came around to like the Christmas period and I knew that I was going to go home and see my family. So I packed up my car and started heading out of London. But it was only when I hit, there's an off ramp after you get just out of London off of the M25 onto the M1. Exciting stuff. When you just come off of the Liam Court Road and you realize that you're changing from like suburban urban London streets into motorway, I saw a sign for the service station there, and it was at that point that I clocked. I was like, oh shit, I'm doing it right now. And so I would like, I like pulled over into the service station, swiped through my Spotify playlist. I was like, I've got to find this song. And I listened to Driving Home for Christmas for a good 20 miles. Because I was like, I'm doing it. And I had like a box of like cookies next to me that I was sort of like munching on while I was driving. I was like, yeah, this is great. And there was no traffic around me, so I was like, I was pretending that there was traffic, and I was like, oh look, you know, I'm waving, looking over to the guy at the left of me, looking to the guy at the right. Look, I'm doing it. Oh shit, I need to keep my eye on the road. But like, it's more difficult when you're not stationary, I'll tell you that for free. Don't drive responsibly, people. But yeah,
thanks for that.
You're welcome. But like, yeah, it was that's a memory that stands out in particular, because I remember being so excited. It's sort of in tandem with the year that I thought that, as a mini edition, there was a year that I thought genuinely, this was a big thing for me, that I thought that I couldn't actually go home and see my family one Christmas because I was way too busy. And also, like, there had been a load of storms and like the trains just like weren't running and all of that kind of stuff. It was a few years ago now. And I'd had to have the conversation with my mum and basically say, look, I'm really sorry, but I actually don't think I'm going to make it this year. So, I'll send you presents by the by, and, I'll come up and see you when I can. But then, like, I can't remember exactly what happened, but the situation changed, and I was able to find a seat on a coach that would take me home. This was the year that I took the National Express. I was able to find a seat on a coach that would take me back home, and I didn't tell my mum, and I turned up on the doorstep on the night of the 24th with my bags in hand. And I was like, you're right, Mum. And she gave me a big old hug and invited me in. And, you know, we had a big cup of tea and a chat. And it was really lovely. I think she was really chuffed that I had managed to surprise her that I was actually coming home for Christmas.
That's really sweet.
Very sweet.
If I was to pick a memory, it would be... So I have a friend who throws... very good parties. Every party of his I've ever been to, I have had really funny and interesting conversations with interesting and clever people about all kinds of things. And one of my favourite memories from one of those New Year's Eve parties is getting drunk, obviously. No. It's like it's the one night of the year that I allow myself to get really drunk. and so I got myself tipsy, and then I invented another cocktail from the bits and pieces that were strewn around the kitchen. And we called it Blue Balls.
Nice.
Because if I remember correctly, in fact, bear with me, I think it might still be in my notes app.
Whoa.
I think fantastic. I wrote it down there.
This just yes, in, Helen's Blue Balls. Blue Balls recipe stored in phone.
Yeah. So they had, for some reason, bubblegum-flavoured pop.
Oh, my God.
That was bright blue.
Love it.
So I had that.
Nice.
Mixed it with vodka and a little bit of tonic and a little bit of lemon and drank it disturbingly easily.
So basically what you made was a WKD blue.
Oh my God. That's what I did. I reinvented WKD blue. And that's one of my favorite
oh, my God. Oh, Helen, you absolute champion.
I mean, you're going to have to watch out with this episode that their IP people don't come along and tell you where to go.
Yeah.
You're going to give away the secrets.
I hear there's this new thing on the street. They've taken our IP. They called it Blue Balls.
Bootleg.
But yeah. And then another favorite memory I have is one of my favorite presents I ever got for Christmas, which was that sand that you could mold as long as it was underwater.
Kinetic sand? Oh, yeah.
But if you took it out of the water, it turned back into sand.
Yeah, kinetic sand, isn't it? Kinetic sand, is that what it's called?
Yes, I think so. I loved that.
Love this stuff.
I loved that so much. It was one of the best presents I ever got.
It must be completely toxic, though, surely, because, you know, anything that fun probably has to be, like, filled with some sort of really bad for you thing.
It was the 90s.
Do they still sell it? No, probably toxic.
All right. We have run over, although, audience, you will not know this because we will have cut out so much stuff. But I want to end us on a quick little, not whirlpool, quick fire. I don't know why my brain said whirlpool. Some whirlpool questions.
Whirlpool questions, let's go with it. Hopefully the whirlpool people from Whirlpool won't come in and...
yeah, you're in the whirlpool, you've got to grab your answers out there. Anyway, the question is, to round off on, in an ideal world, what is a perfect, like, Christmas and New Year's holiday to you? Like, what would you do if, like, if there was no expenses to worry about and you could have anyone you wanted there and there was no issue with time or other commitments?
I have an answer.
Oh, go on.
Triple threat. Okay. Christmas. Three parts. Part one, family. Do stuff at home. Sofa, Bailey's, possible mulled wine, presents, gift giving. Day two, friends' Christmas. Go down to wherever my friends are, rent out a big old house and have a huge party with hot tubs and champagne and various other things as well. And obviously non-alcoholic options for the non-alcoholics. Got you.
thank you.
Triple threat. New year. Do it all again, baby. But this time, you party into the night. All the way through into the morning. With more champagne and blackjack, possibly. Who knows? Yeah, that'd be it for me. It'd be having a segment where I can spend some time with my family, and then a segment where I can spend it with all of my mates, just in a really cool venue where we could just cut loose and do whatever it is we want to do.
Oh, that does sound perfect. I think for me, it would simply be a day in which I did whatever I liked. And was able to just achieve that. It would be a few days where I was just like, today I am going to stay in bed and nobody is going to disturb me. And I just do whatever I like. I would have a day just to read things. I would have a day just to eat things.
Yeah.
I would have a day to go around and see all of my friends and be very silly. Like, I would just... Oh, no. Do you know what? I'm saying that, like, for me, holidays are freedom.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. Yeah, it sounds great, man. It sounds
very
great.
Heartfelt, I'm sure.
Damn. I love it. No, it's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. That's what it's about. Yeah. Freedom. I love it.
Liz, what about you? What do you think?
Well, I think the perfect Christmas would be, you know, all the... Normally I've had my friend's Christmas earlier. That occurs because normally I'm not around my friends around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So it'd be family. It'd be in the newest, 16-room mansion estate that I'd been given as a gift by maybe one of the royals, something like that.
Of course, just, yeah. Yeah,
with,
yeah.
With a nice bit of land.
Lovely, yeah.
There'd be lovely Christmas lunch roast. Christmas pudding, obviously. Like that.
Obviously.
100% that has to be there.
It's made entirely out of coins this time.
Yeah, just coins. mostly coins. And then I'd open my one gift, which had been carefully wrapped, which was the one thing that I've only ever truly wanted, a pony. I would have my pony finally.
Classic.
I mean, I got a lot of My Little Ponies when I was younger, but now as an adult, I feel like I should be able to just step one up to actual pony.
My Little Pony does prepare you for that.
Yeah. Like I literally have two herds worth. I think there was like about 16 or 17 by the time the collection ended. All in pretty good condition because I was not going to mess their hair up or pull it out or do anything like that. All their little cutie marks are all there. I think they now call them cutie marks.
Nice.
And then fly for New Year's, you know, fly to the Pacific. Not that, you know, flight free and everything, but like if no climate change or anything, fly to the Pacific, be on a tropical beach, maybe do some hiking. Mm. Bring my friends, of course, as well, family, whatever.
Nice.
Lovely.
Do some swimming. Just nice. Go back to having a summer kind of Christmas, New Year's where I feel that nice warm heat and it's not like freezing. So because I haven't done that really in I've done that I think once in the last 10 years. So it'd be nice to just have a big warm Christmas.
Aww.
And finally, Annie, what about you?
Well, so mine is also kind of a daw answer, which is that like, so for at least for Christmas, my perfect Christmas would basically be kind of the ones I have every year. They like, I don't know that I would change anything about the way my family does Christmas. We, you know, normally speaking, you know, throughout my family, we get up in the morning before breakfast, we do Santa gifts, big family breakfast, you know, homemade waffles, bacon, cinnamon rolls. You do gifts with the immediate family after breakfast. Go to my parents' house. It kind of alternated in a way, but it was generally speaking, we do lunchtime gifts at my parents' house with my dad's side of the family, and then we'd all go up to my aunt's house, or they would all come down for dinner and gifts with my mom's side of the family, and just spreading throughout the day with different family groups, you know, and just like sort of progressing through it in that way. Good food, family, conversations, presents. How it's always been. I think keeping it that way, having my kids around for it and all that. Aww. You know, and watching them open their presents and all that. That's the perfect Christmas. Aww. Perfect New Year's I've had a couple times. It's basically being able to go over to, you know, some of my best friend's house and not necessarily party so much as just really have, you know, just really have a nice, like a hangout, have a kickback, sit around people with drinks, people with food, whatever, and just watch the, you know, play games, watch the countdown, all the usual stuff and just kind of hang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like a low key New Year's in that way. I don't like to rage on New Year's.
That sounds awesome.
It feels like work to me because I'm an audio tech. I've worked a few Christmases where I'm mixing sound. So if I go to a big party, I feel like I'm working. I'd rather be at home.
Yeah. Aw. Well, on that really sweet, lovely note, I'm going to say we're ending the episode there. Thank you so, so much to all of you for coming on and talking about holidays with me. It's been lovely.
Yeah, thank you, Helen. It has been lovely.
Thank you, Helen.
Genuinely been such a laugh. And thank you, listeners, for listening. And thank you for listening throughout this whole season, which, of course, I know you have done. You wouldn't possibly have missed any of the episodes.
And, of course, you came to watch Gaming and Giving as well, right?
Yeah, right?
Our holiday Christmas tradition that we do every year.
But, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And whatever you're doing as we enter sort of the winter break period, I hope you have a very, very lovely time and you take care of yourself and your family and your friends. And I wish you all the best. But for now, for the last time in 2021, I guess.
Yeah, man.
It's goodbye from me. Goodbye. And it's goodbye from all my guests. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Last episode, bye. Baby.
Bye.
We did it.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Party. Pop the corks. Let's go.
Stop recording.
Someone turn that music up.
Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Lori Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner, and edited by Marissa Ewing, Tessa Vroom, Jeffrey Nils Gardner, and Catherine Ranella. Thanks for listening.